This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because I've been a football fan for a long, long time. I mean, I remember back when the Cowboys was good. I remember back when the Chiefs was bad. And I remember, what was it? Bill Belichick's girlfriend wasn't even born yet.
Snoop Dogg at the NFL Honors last night. Oh, boy.
Man.
Tough seed.
Got him?
That's good. I like that joke. I like those jokes.
But also, come on, Snoop. Don't go dogging a college coach right now, man.
How long is he going to last in North Carolina? How long do you think he's going to coach there? I think a year.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a year, and then if an NFL team offers him, he'll take it.
Yeah, they'll buy out his contract, and they'll, I think it's a year. I cannot see him working in the college game at all. Again, there was Snoop Dogg at the NFL Honors last night. Josh Allen wins the MVP last night, joining just two other Bills players, Thurman Thomas in 91 and O.J. Simpson in 1973, to be awarded the NFL MVP.
Wait a minute. I've just realized something now. The Bills have on their in their quarterback room, they have the MVP and the NVP, Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, that's right! Didn't he win that? It was like the Saints playoff game?
It was the Saints playoff game where he played dreadful.
He was awful. That's right.
And people meme voted him the MVP. So now the Bills have the NVP and the MVP.
Oh, that's so good.
Do not get them crossed up, people.
Oh, man. I do remember that game because I had a little bit of a phase there where I really wanted – basically any Chicago Bears quarterback that gets drafted, I want them to succeed because that fan base has never known good offensive play.
They've never known capable passing.
And I liked Mitch Trubisky in North Carolina. Oh, fun. Bill Belichick, North Carolina, look at that. Uh-huh. And so I want him to succeed, and he has the double doink against Philadelphia. And I'm like, but you know what? You guys are coming. He had a 6-touchdown game against Tampa Bay. Here you go. Literally never reaches that high again. Not even close. And he's at this point now unplayable for the Bills. But I just remember watching that Saints game going like, yeah, all right, yeah. Please, just end this.
I'm seeing the voting happening. I'm like, yes, yes.
Oh, man.
And that game was so dreadful, though.
It's awful. Was that his last game as a Bear? I think so.
No.
Did he have one more year?
But I do remember Jimmy Graham catches a touchdown and just walks out.
Yes. Against his former team.
Oh, against his former team. He catches a touchdown that does not have anything to do with it. It just like claws away at their lead and he dips.
That is his last game as a Bear.
Oh, Trubisky?
Yeah. Yep. It's in the 2020 season and the next year he's on Buffalo. Oh, man.
I'll never forget. Jimmy Graham catches a touchdown against his old team and he dips.
Oh, man.
Because it was with 0 seconds left. He was out.
He was done. He was out. Speaking of playoffs, Super Bowl 59 is this Sunday. The Philadelphia Eagles, Kansas City Chiefs. Mentioned it in the first hour. I've like come around to like being excited for this game. Nervous, but excited.
Okay.
I think the Eagles are a more talented team than the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs have better coaching. I think the Chiefs have the better quarterback. But I do think there is a distinct difference in the talent level between the two teams. And I think Philadelphia, throughout, funny enough, these playoffs have gotten better and better and better. They kind of didn't squeak by against Green Bay, but they need a lot of turnovers. It was never convincing. Mm-hmm. It didn't look great. Against the Rams, the weather kind of played a factor into it. But again,
they almost blew that, too.
And they almost blew it. And then the Washington game happens. And it just felt like They just flex their muscle. Washington, who was this like, you know, fun story. Look what they did to Detroit. They've got this team of destiny feel because you also had the Hail Mary early in the year, and they just whooped them. Saquon Barkley, his stats against the Commanders this year would have put him in the Pro Bowl alone. And I think for the Chiefs, you've seen like they I don't want to say they're scraping by, but too much this year, they've resorted to one score games and getting out due to other teams' mistakes. And it feels like to me with Philadelphia, that offensive line, specifically the defensive line, I think if Jalen Carter plays this game, he is a game breaker. You also have guys like Zach Bond, who Philadelphia picks up from New Orleans. First team All-Pro this year in the Defensive Player of the Year finalist rankings. He's unbelievable. You know, they are just loaded everywhere. They had two of the guys for Defensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, I think they are just loaded with talent. And it was something, Derek, me and you have talked about it off air, where we all kind of maybe like got here, I mean in the office, kind of got wrapped up into the Bills make the Super Bowl, it's over. They're going to win it. They're going to be favored. It's our year. Here we go. And then like the day after they had lost to the Chiefs, and it was like, okay, like it's Chiefs versus Eagles. My immediate thought went to, yeah, I don't know if they could beat the Eagles. I really don't know.
Especially with Buffalo's problems with defending the run being well documented throughout the year.
Yep.
Their inability to get off the field on third down. Yeah, I think that would not have been a good matchup, but here comes the difference. You're trying to use logic. You're trying to think about these things. You're looking at the talent of the Eagles and how they have themselves a good shot. They've been looking better. The Chiefs have played worse all throughout. They're always like digging their way through one score games, and I'm just sitting here going, you silly, naive boy.
It's got to end at some point.
You're using your logic brain. You're trying to use the lumpy parts of the brain now.
I am.
And you're flexing them. Good job.
They're also a bad third down defense, I'd like to point out.
But I would also like to tell you that it's easier to go into this Super Bowl with the small, smooth brain approach, which is Kansas City keeps getting away with it. What is it? I don't know, but they keep getting away with it. It's elementarily easy to go ahead and it's safer even to approach this game with the mindset of don't put your emotions into this. Don't actively cheer for the Chiefs to lose if you're going to watch this game, because I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to frustrate you like they've been doing all year, and that's the theme. Zach, you are talking about things with your logic and how everything's supposed to make sense in a certain point of view and in a certain light. I'm here to tell you that Kansas City keeps doing this. It is their consistent toxic trait this year.
That's their toxic trait.
That is their toxic trait, to be as unwatchable as possible, drag the other team down in the mud with them, and then win the game stabbing them in the kidney.
And no one likes that.
And no one likes it. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's one team that's typically immune to this work. And it's Buffalo. What happens, though, when Kansas City plays Buffalo in the playoffs? Oh, they just show their muscles, and they're the best team in all of football every time they play the Bills.
Yeah, their offense all of a sudden has zero issues. You know, they don't pick up a lot of penalties. Their defense the last few years has always been good. It's
every
more Chris Jones.
Every time.
Yeah.
But, ready? That's the thing. This year, what were the two most watchable games of the Kansas City Chiefs season? In terms of watchability and desirable product. Buffalo.
Both Bills games, yeah.
And it's been consistent with them all throughout the year. What'd they do immediately after losing to Buffalo? Oh, you know, the Carolina Panthers almost threatened to take it to overtime.
That's right, yes. And then, I mean, you have later the Raiders game with Aiden O'Connell driving right down the field on them.
Again, it is their toxic trait. And we've all been poisoned. So stop using the lumpy parts of your brain.
The Eagles are going to win, though.
Stop using logic. Stop using your feelings, too. And just embrace the disgusting status of the National Football League, which is the Kansas City Chiefs keep getting away with it.
Lou is not going to like this attitude when he comes on in 15 minutes. He is not going to appreciate
this. Of course
this.
He's not.
He is not going to appreciate
this. I know this. And am I going to be there for him? Yes.
Do I want them to win against Kansas City? Absolutely. Am I going to invest my social and emotional well-being into it? No.
Yeah, I probably am. I probably am.
And again, that's why I'm saying you naive, silly boy.
So on this,
also because you're younger than me, I can say boy.
That's fair. On this though, like so you brought up like their toxic trait and such. I find it fascinating, and Shope the Bulldog talked about it earlier this week. What is with NFL fans, specifically Bills fans? I'm not mentioning this. I understand why we don't want to root for Kansas City.
I just smashed my knee just now. That was great.
That's fine. I understand why Bills fans are not rooting for the Chiefs. They're actively taking championships away from you.
Yes.
Why is every NFL fan, though, not rooting for the Chiefs kind of like they rooted for the Jordan Bulls or, you know, the Edmonton Oilers back in the day with Wayne Gretzky?
I'll tell you why. But it's like a different day and age.
I think it's a different day and age, but even look at the Patriots dynasty. No one liked that either. But they also seemed to – so, I mean, like to your point then of different day and age, it also seemed like no one had a problem with Pittsburgh and Dallas trading blows back in the 70s.
And again, that goes back to it's a different day and age. Because think about it. Other sports – do people look at the Golden State Warriors in a positive light?
I would say before KD they did. But I would say before KD.
But everything has their expiration date.
Yeah, everything has their expiration
date. And the Kansas City Chiefs already used theirs up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the difference. Yeah. I think it's because of the fact that they have been so aggressively successful that it's not just about like taking championship opportunities away from the Buffaloes, the Baltimores, the Cincinnatis of the world.
Yeah.
It is. They've been to the Super. This will now be what? There's six?
It's too many.
Six Super Bowl appearance?
Let's find out. It's too many.
Or is it fifth? I do apologize. It's fifth. They're 3-1 overall with this group. With this group, they're 3-1 overall. They have been to the championship game each of the last 7 years. They're. At worst, a top four team the last 7 years, and everyone's had enough.
But I wonder why like a team like the Bulls didn't get boring.
It's because it also, while it was successful, it still wasn't as aggressive. There was a warm-up period. There was a struggle. The Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid never struggled.
And I think that's the key part.
Andy
Reid struggled, especially with Alex Smith and stuff like that.
And that's why at first they were lovable. But when the minute Patrick Mahomes became a starter, he's not had a single problem.
Yeah, it's like the rich kid getting into Harvard. Everyone's like, cool, good for you.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
There was no warm-up for him. There's no warm-up for Mahomes. There was for Reed, and that's why a lot of people love him.
Mahomes' first year starting, he throws 50 touchdowns. They make it to the AFC Championship game. If Dee Ford lines up onside, they win the game.
Exactly.
So, oh,
and
gosh,
that was people being like, okay, you're the challenger to New England. Sweet. And that's when people were they were okay with them. They liked them.
I remember rooting for them aggressively
Chiefs
in 18 and 19. Yeah.
Chiefs 49ers was a very watchable Super Bowl because there's two different teams with variations of themselves that are different. Like for the 49ers, they're one of the most successful franchises in all of history, but they haven't been there for a long time.
Yeah, they've
been
there
for a long time.
And then
there's Kansas City Chiefs, who, oh, sweet, it's not New England. Cool.
Yeah. And Mahomes was throwing a lot of touchdowns. He was
but
fun.
The problem
is
now Mahomes and the Chiefs have not stopped. Even New England has not done what they've been doing within their pocket. And if it keeps going, there's going to be more antagonistic views to them because it's a more aggressive version of a dynasty. Kind of like Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
They've already used up their grace period. That's why. To be at worst a top four team each of the last 7 years, which, by the way, in two of those years, you were literally thwarted by Tom Brady.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah, Tampa
That's
and
it.
New England, yeah.
Outside of 1 year of Joe Burrow doing it, Tom Brady was your stopping block.
Yeah, so the other greatest of all time dynasty guy.
Yes.
So it's not, it's the thing, but like we joke about it, Burrow kind of lives off the legacy of 1 year.
There was also no, like we talk about grace periods or building up periods, there was no building up to another dynasty.
No, it just went, all right, it's the Chiefs time
now. It was from Patriots, dear God, make it stop. Okay, sweet, the Chiefs made it stop. Oh God, it's them now.
Yeah.
It went, that's where I think it is that there was no break. There was no couple of years where another team would win. Literally when Jordan retired. When you talk about the Bulls, Jordan retires.
Houston.
Other teams win it.
Yeah.
Guess what? There is no pocket. There's no break. There was no break between even the Patriots to the Chiefs.
It does make you wonder, though. 2021, that's the year Cincinnati and the Rams. Let's say the Rams don't win that Super Bowl, and it is Burrow that wins it. I mean, remember, they were there right at the end. I think the final score is 23-20. Like, they were there at the end. Let's say they win it. Is there a different feeling about the Chiefs because another young AFC quarterback did win one? I think that has also been an aspect
Then I think conference gets looked at. Because then
AFC dominance.
Yeah, because then it's, literally Tom Brady is the only reason that the AFC hasn't won every year then.
and he was a big part of them winning for 20 years.
So then you start looking at it like conferences. And like, is there something wrong over there?
Well, and the NFC had, a 13-year run
mm-hmm.
back in the 80s and the 90s?
Yes, so there it is again. We would be looking at that. I think I know, I've figured it out at this point just by talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm understanding why nationally there's more. And I think it's also because the Chiefs are far more in your face. They're in every commercial. What were the Patriots never in?
Yeah, the Patriots were just the villains, but you never really heard from them. You saw Brady a lot,
and you saw Gronk eventually, but they didn't have personality.
No, they were just a ruthless machine.
The Chiefs have someone in every commercial break.
Oh, that awful Andy Reid commercial. The worst.
The Nuggies.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, too. It's just I find it interesting that, for certain sports, we love dynasties.
But then also, for example, Travis Kelce's got the podcast and mm-hmm. the Taylor Swift thing. It's that's why they're more in your face and it's aggressive. And when people are shown aggression in their face, it's fight or flight, isn't it?
That's right. Yep.
And that's what the perception is everyone's fight or flight response because they're in your face.
Yeah. 803-0550 if you want to join the show. Coming up in just over 10 minutes, Lou DiBiase, host of the Locked On Eagles podcast, will join us to talk more on the Eagles side of things, as I think we've talked enough Chiefs as Bills fans. They always seem to be right in the rearview mirror for many of us. Zach Jones and Dare Kramer here until 3 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.